Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. And welcome back. It's the day after Shavuos, and we're back to the music. Hi, I'm Hirsch Delin, your host, and you are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. And we hope everyone had a meaningful Shavuos and received the Holy Torah with joy, and even heard the Ten Commandments, the Aseret Dibros, with their families, and ate lots of cheesecake and blintzes. So now it's back to the Parsha, which, by the way, is Naso this week. Last week, God counted the regular folks, so this week he counts the Levites separately, since they were directly in the service of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. And also in this week's Parsha, all the tribes bring identical gifts to dedicate the Mishkan, one each day over a 12-day period. And, of course, then on the 13th day it was dedicated. And speaking of dedication, our dedicated staff is here to bring you the best in educational Jewish radio with Musical Moish. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Mr. Bor Delin. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, and we got a ton of them this week, along with current news, fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up in the half hour. And don't forget to take time now to support Jewish radio in Pittsburgh. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week. You can send an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net, or you can call 412-979-5770. And we will let you in on all the details. And don't forget, if you want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Rabbi Cyril Zerlo, and his popular story segment is sponsored by Perfect Flooring. They take the showroom to you. Community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. The popular feminine perspective is, and of course, Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is available for sponsorship, so you can call right now and reserve your spot. The program this week is sponsored in part by Pearly Delin in honor of her bas mitzvah. And, of course, the Delin family is involved a little bit in that. And she had a great bas mitzvah last week. Everybody was there, and the family was there, and she had a great time. We'll talk more about that. And that's coming up shortly also. But remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to, of course, making this program available to you in your homes each week. You know, nothing is free. Entire staff works hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we do rely on your generous support. Thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free. And you call us at 412-979-5770, or you can send us an email, of course, at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Now, we got candlelighting time this week is 8:20 p.m., so now you can sit back and enjoy some real music cooked up just for you on an Erev Shabbos in the holy city of Pittsburgh on your Jewish Experience radio program.
Oh,
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refuah Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
What is rain and where does it originate? Scientific textbooks teach, and it is a straightforward statement in Torah, that a mist rose from the ground and watered the whole face of the earth. In other words, the water originates on the ground. It is evaporated into the atmosphere, the vapor becomes clouds, the clouds release the rain, and the resulting moisture is used by plants and vegetation which grow on the ground. The Almighty created the world in an orderly and logical manner. Where is the logic in this particular cycle? Why must the water, which was on the ground in the first place, be evaporated by heat from the sun to become atmospheric vapor, which will then be returned to earth as an answer to prayer? The Almighty could just as easily have arranged it so that the moisture of the earth stays on the earth to sustain the plants on the earth. But the Almighty so desired it that we pray to Him for rain. It is necessary for us to know that everything comes from Him. And to emphasize this lesson, He found it convenient to arrange this cycle in such a fashion as to apparently contradict the basic law that water descends from higher levels to lower levels. We learn from this that whenever we have a request, we pray to the Almighty. Only then does the water return to the earth.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Foreword, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Foreword reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Foreword also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the Foreword, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. It's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
7 weeks after the Exodus, the defining moment in Jewish and world history arrived. In total unity, unequaled before or since, the Jewish people lovingly agreed to accept the Torah, and the purpose of creation thus was realized. Their decision was not based on impulse or mass hysteria. Instead, it was a conscious, rational choice made with a full understanding of the great ramifications that would come about as a result of this undertaking. The 3 million Jews who received the Torah were intelligent, highly critical human beings who could not have been forced or bamboozled by Moshe into accepting the Torah. At Sinai, the entire Jewish people attained the prophetic level of Moshe, when God directly transmitted the first two commandments to them face to face. Moshe transmitted the other eight of the Ten Commandments. The magnitude of the moment when the Jews became God's people was indelibly sealed into the Jewish soul for all time. Matan Torah is the basis of Jewish belief. The claim of a public national revelation distinguishes Judaism from all other religions. The Torah repeatedly exhorts the Jewish people not to forget what each had personally seen and to transmit it to his and her children. If the parents had not individually witnessed such a cataclysmic event, they would not have believed it and would never have taught their children something that they thought to be false. While it is certainly possible for parents to teach lies to their children if they are legends the parents believe that happen to be false, or if the lies are fallacious ideals the parents believe, such as communism, nevertheless parents will never wittingly teach their children something they know to be patently untrue. Furthermore, such a transmittal of fallacious information simply could not occur over scores of generations, literally all over the globe. The famous author James Michener, in The Bridge at Andau, writes that students began the Hungarian Revolution of 1956 because in school they learned the falsified communist history of their country, while their parents taught them the truth at home. The contradiction between truth and falsehood inspired them to revolt. It is obvious from the Torah itself that it is a divine and not man-made document. The Torah commands that Jewish farmers in the land of Israel refrain from planting every seventh year, Shemitah. After every seven Shemitah cycles, Yovel, the 50th Jubilee year, follows, thus making two consecutive years in which agricultural activity is proscribed. The Torah then guarantees that there will be sufficient crops in the sixth year to last the following 3 years. No human, no matter how powerful, would be so foolish to make such a promise. In another example, all Jewish men are required to visit the Holy Temple in Jerusalem on the holidays of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, thereby leaving the borders undefended. The Torah then assures the Jewish people that no enemy will dare to attack. Once again, no human would or could make such a promise. When discussing the formation of a Jewish army on the battlefield, the Torah commands that all soldiers who are afraid should return home. Historically, nations have always tried to recruit as many soldiers as possible and have unremittingly punished draft dodgers. Once again, no human has ever said such a thing, especially in time of war. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen, wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
The Sapir College adjacent to Sderot is holding classes today despite home front command orders that they be canceled because of the threat of Qassam rocket attacks. The president of the college explaining that the school has been closed long enough and that students must continue with their education. No injuries or damage from three Qassams that landed in the western Negev in the early daylight hours after a midnight missile launch. 10 Qassams in total on Thursday. The Israeli Air Force striking back overnight at targets in Rafah, Gaza City, and Khan Yunis, wounding 9 people, most of them terrorists. The targets included an Islamic Jihad weapons storeroom and a Hamas operations center. No one injured when one of the strikes landed near an empty guard position outside the house of Hamas leader and PLO Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh, according to PLO sources. Israeli spokesman said that the house was not targeted, in spite of calls to eliminate Haniyeh. Sderot Mayor Eli Moyal has told mayors and council members from the north that he'll step down as soon as the current Qassam crisis is over. Moyal has served as mayor since 1996 and has repeatedly expressed frustration at the national government's failure to help the city. 500 Sderot residents taking advantage of Russian-Israeli tycoon Arkady Gaidamak's offer to move into a tent city in Tel Aviv Thursday night. Gaidamak is also providing the children with free admission to an adjacent amusement and water park. Another 200 expected to show up before Shabbat. Quoting one Sderot resident, "I assume that they won't succeed in firing rockets here." Quoting another, "Qassam rockets fell on us next to our house. My wife was injured and treated at the hospital, and I also was there. It is better here than in our neighborhood." Many residents said they intend to return to Sderot next week in order to work. Riyad Mazarib, an Israeli Arab from the Jezreel Valley village of Mazarib, has been sentenced to 6 years in prison for giving information to a member of Hezbollah during the Second Lebanon War last summer. Mazarib was also convicted of attempting to import dangerous drugs. Mazarib was convicted of contacting a Lebanese man last June to discuss the purchase of drugs for distribution in Israel. After the war broke out, Mazarib gave his contact information about Israeli troop movements, army plans as reported in the Israeli media, and the location of rocket strikes. The judges who sentenced Mazarib explained that while his crimes were very serious, they took into account his father's army service, which included dangerous missions in combat units. The judges also took into account Mazarib's relatively clean criminal background, which includes earlier charges of theft and interfering with a law officer. America's CBS News Service has reported that United States officials worked with allied nations to sabotage Iran's efforts to develop nuclear technology. According to the report, spies sold Iran faulty equipment, causing an explosion at one Iranian plant that destroyed 50 centrifuges. The American government has neither confirmed nor denied the reports. U.S. President George W. Bush announced Thursday that he plans to take further actions against Iranian leaders who continue to be defiant in face of world opposition to their nuclear plans. He said that he and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will work to create harsher sanctions against Iran with help from allied countries in Europe. Sonia Peres, the 81-year-old wife of Vice Premier Shimon Peres, is in serious but stable condition at a Tel Aviv hospital after being rushed there overnight with difficulty breathing. The senior statesman spending the night at his wife's bedside. Mrs. Peres has been in ill health recently. She is famous for staying out of the spotlight and not granting interviews. Jerusalem Police Chief Ilan Franco has sent a letter granting his initial approval to a homosexual pride parade scheduled to take place on June 21st in the capital. Franco writing that the police are obligated by the Supreme Court to provide security for the parade and to allow participants to march from Independence Park to Liberty Bell Park. However, he said the police retain the right to determine the location and timing of the parade based on the circumstances. The parade was replaced last year by a demonstration on the Hebrew University Givat Ram campus due to fears of violence against parade participants. Swiss police now say that the fire that broke out in the library of Geneva's largest synagogue Thursday may have been caused by an electrical problem and not by arsonists. Arson had been indicated because of the extent of the blaze when firefighters arrived. Torah scrolls and other religious articles were saved. Britain has ordered the King David's School in Manchester to allow children to bring lunches from home into the school's kosher cafeteria. The school had banned packed lunches for fear that the food might not be kosher. The change was ordered after a 2-year battle by Esther Lindley, who has had to take her children out of school during lunchtime and bring them food to a nearby park or in the car. She explained, "The food they serve in the canteen may be kosher, but it is not healthy." It's Chet of the 8th of Sivan on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast clear to partly cloudy with a significant drop in temperature today. Slightly warmer on Shabbat, with temperatures reaching higher than usual over hills and inland regions on Sunday. Significantly cooler on Monday. In Jerusalem and Haifa today, 26 degrees centigrade, 79 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 38 degrees centigrade, 100 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
And somebody must have heard us last week because the Mazel Tovs are coming all over the place today. Thank God. The first one, Michael and Ronit Pasternak on the bar mitzvah of their son, Kobe. And Howard Goldman on his upcoming marriage to Shani Worth and to Howard parents, Dr. Ken and Betty Goldman. And David and Maddie Enoch on the birth of a grandson. And our own Rabbi Yisroel and Debbie Miller on the birth of a granddaughter. And our own Rabbi and Mrs. Yosef Itkin on the birth of a grandson. And Doctors Nancy and Michal Shulman on the engagement of their daughter, Sprinza. And the winner this week of the most Mazel Tovs on, in any one show is Murray and Elvira Pfeffer on the birth of a great-grandson, on the bar mitzvah of their grandson, and on the engagement of a granddaughter. Wow. And, of course, a very special Mazel Tov goes to my wife, and my daughter, on the occasion of our bas mitzvah, to Pearl Bracha, who actually is a co-sponsor of today's show. So mazel tov to everybody. We should only hear and be a part of simchas. And before we get to the events, just want to take a few minutes to talk about my daughter, Pearlie, just for a little bit. First of all, she just had her bas mitzvah, which is a great big occasion in a girl's life where she takes on her mitzvahs and becomes actually a woman in Jewish law. And I want to say mazel tov to her, and I want to say mazel tov to my wife, and actually my other two daughters as well, who did an incredible job preparing for a beautiful bas mitzvah that they had last Sunday. And Pearlie, you know, has a lot of great mitos, has a lot of great character traits that she has. When I come home from work every day, she's the first one to greet me at the door. And it's such a pleasure to have her in the house and be with us and to lighten up the house with her bright and cheery disposition and her love for everybody and her love for everything. And she also just works hard in school and is a great Baal Chesed as well. So, Pearlie, this is to you. We love you very much from your mommy and your tati. And you should go from strength to strength, and you should grow to be a beautiful Hasidic Shemedel. And through your midos and through your great character traits and your love for your family and your love for Klal Yisrael, may that be the one thing that pushes us over the top and brings Mashiach Tzidkenu, the righteous Mashiach, now. And now let's take a look at the events around the community here. There's a book sale Sunday, June 3rd at B'nai Amuna Synagogue, 4315 Murray Avenue. Thousands of books, fiction and nonfiction. Also books in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Yiddish, some over 100 years old. You have any questions about this sale? Have books you want to donate? Call B'nai Amuna at 412-521-1477. And our own Henry Shapiro will be playing for the Pittsburgh Jewish Music Festival this year, May 30th, at the Club Cafe on the Southside. He invites anyone who enjoys Jewish music to come by and see him play. The community Pirkei Avos classes for women occurring throughout the community and area synagogues in memory of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff. Also, please mark the date, Jewish Community Day at Kennywood Park, Sunday, August 26th. And, of course, that's still a little bit out there, so more details are coming. The meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, still meeting, Shari Torah, every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. Very successful, I might add. The program is not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. And if you would like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can do it. Call us at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week, 8:20 p.m. Here's a special Shavuos message from the Baal Simcha, the one who just announced his engagement with his daughter, Mazel Tov, the director of AskNoah.org, Dr. Michael Shulman.
People from all nations often ask, why can't we just derive our morality from the narratives and lessons in the Bible without being constrained to follow a particular set of commandments? This question is very relevant to our commemoration of the giving of the Torah on Shavuos, and is very well explained in an address by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which I'll now read. If one wishes to ensure that mankind will act justly and righteously, it must be founded upon observing the will of the Creator and Director of the world. Consider the theme of the Talmud's tractate, Ethics of Our Fathers. Although this deals with ethics and proper character traits, the author of the Mishnah begins with, Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. This is to tell you that the ethics and morals in this tractate were not thought up from their own hearts, as was the case with the ethics invented by the sages of other nations, but these two are from Sinai. This is the only guarantee of actual behavior according to morality and proper character traits. This is relevant both for oneself and when influencing others. As the Mishnah continues, establish many students. This surely applies to mankind as a whole. The only way to guarantee just, righteous conduct is not an ethical system based on human reason, but on the fulfillment of the will of the Creator and Director of the world. As Maimonides says, one is considered a pious Gentile only when he accepts the seven Noahide commandments and fulfills them because the Holy One, blessed be He, commanded them in the Torah and informed the Jewish people through Moses, our teacher, that mankind is obligated to follow these commandments. This is similar to the sage's statement in the Midrash. If one is told that Gentiles possess wisdom, believe it. If one is told that Gentiles receive Torah of their own, not from the Jews, don't believe it. Wisdom alone, without any connection to actual behavior, is not necessarily related to the giving of the Torah. Torah, however, which denotes an instruction that is actually put into practice, is only present by virtue of the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people. So the Jews must influence how the abstract theory of Torah is put into practice when it comes to the Noahide commandments. May it be God's will that everyone will increase in all the above, both in spreading Torah and Judaism among Jews, and in spreading the seven Noahide laws among all the world's inhabitants. Words that emanate from the heart will surely penetrate the heart and accomplish their effect. This surely applies when we demonstrate a living example in our personal behavior in all matters of goodness and holiness. In this way, each person will merit to see the fine fruits of his labor. This is a teacher's greatest reward, seeing his student go in the path he was taught, coming closer and closer to the Creator and Director of the world by actually fulfilling his will, until the student himself becomes an illuminating candle, transmitting his or her knowledge and enthusiasm about Torah and the Noahide commandments to others. Let us occupy ourselves with all this with a sense of newness and the same enthusiasm with which we would fulfill a command newly given from Sinai. Through this we accomplish that the world will be filled with the knowledge of God, as it says in Isaiah, as much as possible during these last moments of exile, and we hasten the complete fulfillment of this prophecy. With the arrival of our righteous Mashiach, may he come immediately. Let us appreciate the tremendous privilege of being God's emissaries to make the world into a dwelling place for God with joy and gladness of heart.
Now it's time to take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
Brachos, blessings, are an integral part of the Jewish tradition and culture. Everyday greetings, Shalom Aleichem, contain a blessing for peace. The brachos you say in the morning, thanking God for many things, the custom for one who has a birthday to bless others, and the list continues. Judaism places a great belief in the power of words, which is why we are so careful with Shmiras HaLashon, guarding what we say lest it harm somebody. On the positive side, a person who truly wishes good things upon someone will often convey their wishes through the power of a bracha, in order that Hashem's power helping us is channeled toward a specific need. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Naso, we learn about the priestly blessing, Berchas Kohanim, that the Kohanim were commanded to bless the people. The blessings speak about Hashem's treatment of us and how we hope it should be for the best. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. The first three words parallel the three people who are called up to the Torah during the afternoon services of Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha. The next five words correspond to the people who are called up to the Torah during festivals. Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasein lecha shalom. The last seven words parallel the seven people who are called up to the Torah on Shabbos. If God Himself blesses us every minute of every day, why is it necessary to specifically command Kohanim to bless us? Let's take a mashal, an allegory. Sometimes, my younger sister will ask me to play a game with her. While I'm happy to drop my work and do so, most of the time I really can't. So she came up with another tactic. Devorah, why don't you take a break from your work and play with me? I'm sure you need it. Well, when you put it like that, how could I possibly resist? The priestly blessing offers the same idea. When one normally wants something from Hashem, they'll daven, and God has to consider it. But when the Kohen comes to Hashem and says, Hashem, I know how anxious you are to bless your beloved people, and I am here and waiting to convey your blessings to them. Hashem, of course, is happy to comply. The Kohanim are all descendants of Aaron the high priest. Aaron's main avoda in life was the spread of Ahava, love for everyone. In fact, Aaron's name is a conjunction of Ahava Rabbah, which means great love. When the Kohanim are blessing the people, they cup their hands as if to form a vessel in which to pour the blessing from Hashem to the people. The hand is extended upwards towards the people and outwards to channel the blessing from Hashem. Our sages tell us that unity is the highest form of love. When the people are gathered together to receive Hashem's blessing, they form a complete receptacle, or keli in Hebrew. Keli is an acronym for Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, the three groups within the Jewish people. When the entire nation comes together, with true unity, they are assured of the highest blessing, the Brecha of peace. May we merit it speedily in our days. Have a good Shabbos.
Birshus, birshus shomayim, birshus noirai verabuizah, birshus, birshus shomayim, birshus noirai verabuizah, birshus, birshus shomayim. Birshus moirai verabuisa, yu birshus, birshus shomayim. Nevorech lelekeinu, nevorech ladineinu, nevorech lemalkeinu, lemoyeshienu. Never end, 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 never end
Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is brought to you by Perfect Flooring, 412-551-1697. Yitzchak Chico Kadosh says, we bring the showroom to you. Call 412-551-1697 for Perfect Flooring. And now, our renowned storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
A woman who was a Holocaust survivor came before Rav Moshe Feinstein with the following story. After the war, she had been permitted to remarry on the basis of evidence that her husband had perished in the concentration camps. A well-known Rav in one of the displaced persons camps, after the war, had ruled that her husband could be assumed dead and had given her a document, which she had lost in the post-war chaos, attesting to this decision. It was on the basis of this Rav's ruling, the woman told Rav Moshe, that she had remarried. Now, after more than 20 years, when her children were grown and of marriageable age, she had learned that her first husband was still alive. The Rav whose ruling she had quoted was no longer alive to verify her story. Rav Moshe asked the woman to repeat her story a second time, and then a third. The atmosphere in the room was tense, as Rav Moshe's brow furrowed in deep concentration. Then, this giant of Torah, who epitomized kindness and compassion, rose, leaned across the table, and said to the woman, "It cannot be. I knew the Rav of whom you spoke. He was a Gaon and Tzaddik, and I do not even approach his ankles in Torah. I have permitted over 2,000 women to remarry since the war, and never did the first husband ever reappear. Now you are telling me that such a thing could have happened to that tzaddik. It is impossible. It cannot be." As those present looked on incredulously, the woman broke down in tears and admitted that her story was indeed false. She had been sure that her husband could not possibly have survived, and so, using the name of the deceased Rav, she had contrived the story about the document so that she could remarry. But Rav Moshe's faith in the divine assistance granted worthy scholars brought the truth to light. In the Sefer Shilti Giborim, it writes, "When a person toils in Torah for its sake alone, Hashem illuminates his darkness so that he does not come to sin, nor does he rule in matters of Torah contrary to halacha." Another beautiful story regarding the holiness of the Torah is that during the battle for Britain, London fell victim to nightly bombing raids by the Germans. Like all the city residents, Rabbi Yechezkel Avramsky, then head of London's Supreme Rabbinic Court, took refuge in the nearest bomb shelter. For Rav Chezko Avramsky, this meant going to the bank, one flight down from his apartment, and entering a walk-in steel vault. The bank workers, who also took refuge in the vault, noticed that each time Rav Avramsky entered the vault, he would whisper something to himself. On one occasion, they asked the Rav's son what it was that his father was saying, and this is what they were told. "Through the course of his life, my father has recited the verse, Tov li soras picho, me alfei zov v'chosef. I prefer the Torah of your mouth, more than thousands in gold and silver, countless times. Each time he enters this vault and is surrounded by millions of pounds sterling, my father is filled with joy, for he perceives how he himself feels about Hashem's wisdom. He would not trade a bit of it for all the money in the world. It is this verse said by David HaMelech that you see my father whispering each time he enters the vault." This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
Close the first, once again, Real Music Edition on the JE. A couple of reminders. Book sale Sunday, June 30th, B'nai Emunah Synagogue. And you can call 412-521-1477 and leave a message. And don't forget, Henry Shapiro playing for the Pittsburgh Jewish Music Festival, May 30th at the Club Cafe. And you can mark the date, Community Day, Kennywood Park, Sunday, August 26th, Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, Shari Torah, every Sunday evening. And that you can call Lana on that, 412-422-2224. And don't forget, you can call us if you want our Mazel Tovs, or your Mazel Tovs on our program, 412-979-5770. Or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net, and let us know what you want. We'll get it on there for you. So, I want to thank, first and foremost, Pearl Brecha DeLynn for being a co-sponsor of today's show in honor of her bas mitzvah. and wish her many, many more good and exciting and happy years as she goes forward in her life. And we also want to thank our cutting edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoist.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Mr. Vordelin, and of course, the guy who's can't get rid of him, actually, our engineer, General Bossenstein, for another outstanding show. Now we got candlelighting time, 8:20 p.m. It's been fun, but I do have to run. Till next week, I'm Hirsch Lynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat.